Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalet. And yesterday we got up to the two dots, and we're holding at Amri Le Rabbona, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So that's about two lines further than one third down over here. Amri Le Rabbona, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we've been in the middle of discussing the Tzuras HaOziot and various other dinim of Ketav, which we mentioned yesterday are all part of the extension of what it was that was necessary for the Binyan HaMishkan and the learning the concept of Ksav from the actual Krashim of the Mishkan. And because Bitzalel, in order to make the Mishkan, needed to be Bitzel Kel, so to speak, and to know even the Osio Shenivru Bem Shamayim Va'aretz, those Osio Shenivru Bem Shamayim Va'aretz, the secrets of those Otiot are found indeed in the Sefer Yetzirah, which talks about the way in which one can create using the otiot, which are the primal ingredients of the way things fit together, which is much easier for us to understand now that we know how the physical universe is fitted together by simple otiot, and how the biological world is fitted together by simple otiot, and codes that used to sound very esoteric could turn out to be very, very real and practical in physical terms. So we continue today with some remarkable stories about the various olive bays, the structures that are mentioned in the Sefer Yetzirah. And it turns out that these things become more and more available for us to understand exactly as I just pointed out to you, because it becomes clearer and clearer that the world is coded. And as people understand the relationship of code to results, which is something that really only over the past 50 years people have come to appreciate. I mean, it started a little bit before with the mathematical developments that allowed for the concept of information being coded in, you know, simple, whether it's chemical codes or letter codes, however we can represent the chemical codes by letters. It becomes more and more available to us to begin to understand the tziruf of the otiot shebo shamayim v'aretz, which means that as humanity matured, the various olive bases in the Sefer Yetzirah became subject to even not the greatest people understanding. And because of that, the Rabbanan were shocked. And when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came into the Beis HaMedrash, they said, we had some visitors today who were basically kids. And like, it's unbelievable. Otu dardeke ha'idna levei medrasha. Some kids came today to the yeshiva. Ve'amru mile da'afilu b'mei Yehoshua b'nun lo itma kavatayo. They said things that even from the days of Yehoshua b'nun, which you would think is the closest to Moshe Rabbeinu, the beginning of the drushas of the Torah, nobody's ever pointed out these things, which is crazy. And the Yerushalmi actually says that these people were not exactly dardeke, because we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, but in any event, we can see that there's an opening over here for what we note is part of our own experiences, that little infantile people such as ourselves are capable of understanding now and of expressing things that we see clearly were not expressed and were not understood, not in the days of the Rishonim and the early Achronim and so on. So how is that possible? Again, because of the overall development. And this is what they were shocked at. So these kids come in and they say things that no one has ever known from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Take a look at a normal olive base, they say. Olive bait obviously learns for alev bina, learn how to think, meaning learn bina, learn Torah, and gimel dalet, gomel dalim, and help out the poor. And my time, apshuta kari de gimel agabe dalet. Now, if you take a look at the way it's written, the gimel, the leg of the gimel, is extending in towards the left, which is towards the dalet. Why would that be? Shekein darko shel gomel chasadim lo rutzachar dalim. That's because the gimel gomel will always be searching for the needy because he wants to help the poor. Umaytaim apshuta kare de dalet lagabe gimel. Why is the dalet bent backwards towards the gimel instead of going straight down from the dalet in terms of the dinim of the kitab? That's because it's important for the ani to allow himself to be found. Limtse le nafshe. Don't play hard to get. So that if somebody is trying to help you out, allow yourself, open yourself up to help. So you should make yourself open to him. Why does the Dalit face away from the Gomel? That's because the Gomel always should be in a position where he is using Matan Betzina, so that the person that he's giving to doesn't see him. We don't want the receiver to suffer any kind of embarrassment because of his dependency. Hey and Vav, now Hey and Vav are one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we learn out from the Pasuk that the Rashi quotes, that goes through all of the various Shemos of Birkas Kohanim that we allude to in the little tefillah that we say during Birkas Kohanim. And that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is followed by a message. And the message is Zayin Chet Tet Yud Chof Lamed, which stands for that if you do this, then the Hey and the Vav, which is the remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be Zayin you, which means he will give you Parnasa, he will Zanotcha, he will Chet you, which means that he will give you Chen, Chanotcha, he will Tet you, which means he will send Tova your way, Meitiv Lecha, and he will yud you, which means he will be noten lecha yerusha, and he will also give you a keter, so he will chof you le, he will give you a keter in olam haba, and tie it onto your head. And then we have the mem ptucha and the mem stuma, refers to the fact that a ma'amar can be patuach and a ma'amar can be satum. So the words of the Torah sometimes are meant to be open on a level of Torah that's gluya, and sometimes they're supposed to be closed, and that is because they are bederech sod. Not everyone should know them, and you should not explain them. Not be ma'amar. Nun kifufa. Then we have the curved nun, and we have the straight nun. That means that a nun who is a ne'eman is maybe bent over in olam hazeh, but he is going to stand tall in Olam Haba. And then we have Samach Ayin, which means Simoch Aniyim. Don't only be Gomel Dalim, but also be supportive of Aniyim, people that need support in any way. So if somebody needs psychological support, somebody is depressed, whatever it is, that too is a chiyav of Smoch Aniyim. Lishna Achrina, Simanim Aseh. Always make Simanim for your learning, because that's the only way to be Kena Torah. And then we have a peh. He's after me. Then we have a peh. I figured you must have looked ahead before you sent me that message. Peh kifufa and peh peshuta. So we've got a curved peh, a closed peh, and an open peh, which means sometimes open up your mouth and sometimes shut your mouth, you idiot. And that is because, as we saw before, Rashi says, if there's other people that can teach, you don't need to put yourself out there. Let them do the work. And if there's not, and you feel, well, I don't want to put myself in that position, you got no choice. You have to open your mouth. So it depends on the situation. And then we have a tzadik kafufa and a tzadik pshuta, which means that a tzadik will be bent in olam hazeh with his anova, and he'll be tall in olam haba. Nah, come on, that's the same thing. I mean, that's neman kafuf, neman pashut. I mean, don't use the same drasha twice. There's got to mean something else. Ah, no. You see, because the one thing that you got to hear more than once is how humble to be. And that's ma'od ma'od havishval ruach. So therefore we had to repeat it. So because of that, hosif lecha akatuv kfifa al kfifato. Be even more humble than you thought. And mikan shenitna ha-torah b'minod rosh, this tells us that the kinyan of Torah that we were talking before is through a very profound sense of keeping your head low. And this is like our biggest problem is the lo yid borshasho, keep your head low. Kuf stands for kadosh, and resh stands for rosha. So why is it that the resh is facing away from the kuf, which we don't want to say because it's not nice to say that something turns its head away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we put it that way, but obviously it's really that the resh is facing away from the kuf. So why is the kuf not able to see the face of the resh? Because Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't stand looking at this no good. Ein ani yochol listakel b'rasha, and therefore keep him facing in the other direction. And why is it that the tag of the kuf actually is bent towards the resh. Why would that be? That's the little tag, and it goes towards a little bit. Instead of going straight up on the kuf, it's bent towards the left, which is towards the resh. Why would that be? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm waiting for this guy to do tshuva. I'm telling you, if he does tshuva, im chozer bo ani kosher lo keter kamoti, I'm going to give him this crown on his head, and he's going to be, he shouldn't think he lost out on anything. On the contrary, he's going to be in the greatest place in Olam Haba, because of Mokum Shabbalei Tshuva, Eim Deim, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim Lamed. My time Akari de Kuf Tluya, and how come the Kuf has a strange situation similar to the hay, and that its leg is hanging down and it's not attached to the top of the letter? That's in order to give him an opening. I want this Resh, this Rasha, to have an opening to come back into Kedusha. The Yehadar Be'le'ayos, you should have a place to go. Wait, what do you mean a place to go? I mean, he could always circle around the bottom of the kuf, come on up inside from the bottom, couldn't he? Of course, you'll recall that this is the same question that we list about the hay in terms of Lama Nivra Olam Hazeh B'hei. And that is Misayeh Alel Resh Lakish, the Omer Resh Lakish. Why does it say in the Pasuk, Imla Leitzim Hu Yalitz? A guy wants to be a cynic, he can be a cynic. Ula Navim, Vila Navim Yitem Chein. But HaKadosh Baruch will actually give Chein. Look at the difference. Bali Tamei, somebody wants to mess himself up and be a cynic, he can. It's up to him, Hu Yalitz. But if somebody is searching for anova, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. Potchim lo, we give him we're misayim lo, because yitain chen. And then we get to shin. Shin stands for sheker, and tuf stands for emet. So that basically you're going to have to go through these stages of development in order to finally reach the tuf, so that you get to the tough of life when you finally are aimed on the complete MS, and that requires you seeing the entire olive base. And how come Sheker, all of the letters of Sheker are in one place? Kuf, Resh, Shin, right? That's weird. If you take a look at the letters of Emet, they are the most spread out letters possible, because olive is the first letter, tough is the last letter, and Mem's the middle letter. So it's a little bit strange, isn't it? So how come that's true? That's because it doesn't take very much to find Sheker. So the first time you open Google, that's what you're going to find. So, of course, it's all Mekarva Milish, in Kuf, it's all Sheker. But to find something that's true, you got to really look. So in order to do that, you got to get Olive and Mem and Tuf. And how come all of the letters of Sheker, if you take a look at the correct way to write the letters of the Sefer Torah, they all stand on one tiny sharp point. And all the letters of Emet stand on an elongated brick-like leg, Olive, Mem, and Tuf. They either have two legs to stand solidly, or they have that long leg at the bottom of the Mem. So why is that? That's because truth can actually stand. Sheker, anyway, always falls over at the end, so we don't want to give it a leg to stand on. That's why we always say he doesn't have a leg to stand on, because it's all Sheker. Okay, now, they said, there's also, I mean, this is just the regular olive base, but remember that in the Sefer HaYetzirah, we also have an atbash. An atbash is where we take the olive base and fold it into two, so that olive comes out with tuf, and bait comes out with shin, and so on. So they darshaned atbash also. So atbash goes like this. At is otita'av. Since this is backwards and it's folded, so we see it also from a position of rishus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, somebody looks at me and he just can't stand me. So shall I be mit'aveh to him? Bash. It means be. He doesn't want me. Shmi loch be loch hashak. Shemi. Shall he have my shame chal on him? Gar. This person, gufo, timei, he's turned into pure physicality. Shall there be rachamim on him? Dak, this guy closes all the doors that I open for him. Shall I not karnav lo agadea? Shouldn't I cut him down? Anyway, that's only for Rishayim, but we don't want to go further than that because we don't want to relate the Hey and the Vav, which is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Rishayim. So now let's talk about Tzadikim. At Bash means if you, Ata, are Bosh, and you learn how to be Boshesh, which was Adam Arishon's main problem. So the first letters of the At Bash are merames to what you need to know as a human. The moment you learn to bash, the moment you learn to have some sense of shame in the world, then guard duck, you are going to end up living in the Shamayim. Imatao sekein gar bedok, that is going to bring you all the way up there. And then hatz vap, if there is a chatzitza because of this, between you and af, so hatz, we dashen chatz, he is often dashen zeches, chatz vap, there's going to be a chatzitza between you and vap, which is af. And then za chas tan. And that means you have nothing to be worried about the satan. Ein ata mizdazeya min ha satan. And then yam kol, omar sar shel gehinam, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the great sea of hell, because everything, kol ha-nachalim ha-olchim el ha-yam, is everybody's going to end up in hell, says Gehenim. So says Gehenim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, le-yam kol. Everything should go straight to hell, because that's where everything belongs. Omar, ribono shel olam, so omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we move on to one of the other olive bases in the Sefer Yetzirah, and that splits the olive base into three separate groups, and that gives us the combination of 1, 8, 15, 2, 9, 16, and so on. And that's what we're going to darshan now as the answer to Gehenna. So Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achaz Bata Jip, I'm telling you right now, Ani Chas Alehem. That's achas, anicha. I refuse to give you the children that I have. Anichas aleihem. Why? Because bata, they kicked away the jeep. And the jeep is the targum of lotin af. So the adultery, because they've turned their back on leading these lives of sexual nonsense, because of that, I am chas on them. You can't have them. Dakats. They are dakim, they are kenim, they are tzadikim. Halak, we darshan as chelek. Ein lecha chelek b'hem, away. You get none of them. And not only that, v'marzan shat, says, so now, Omar genim lefanav, ribono shel olam, mari, this is the marzan, mari, zunini, I need food. I live off of these people you throw into hell. And I need food, me zaro shall shate. And zaro shall shate includes, of course, Yisrael. I need them all. Omar lo, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Gehenim, Albam, oh no, not them. Aha, Gandas. They are actually going to the Gan of Hadassim for Tzadikim. Now this is another olive base in the Sefer Yetzirah, where we split it into two groups of the 11 letters, and we don't flip them. So over here we do 112, 213, 314, and so on. And that's what we're darshaning now. So the Albam Gandas means not them, Albam Gandas. They go to the Garden of Hadassim. These people are not meant for Gehenim. They're meant to go to Gan Eden. So Lehechan Olechem, Legan Hadas. So Gehenim says, Ribono shel olam, havap, my gosh, I am getting really, really faint from all of my hunger. I mean, you're not feeding me enough people. What am I going to eat? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about it, buddy. Zatzchak means these are the zera shel Yitzchak. You can't have any of Yitzchak's children, you idiot. But don't worry, I got lots of food for you. Tar. Just hold tight. Yesh kat. There's plenty of kitot of Avdei Kochavim that you are going to have to eat. Don't worry about your nourishment. Okay, this was the closure, the Rosh Hashanah Sefer. This was the the part about Zaro Shal Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's my final taina. You can fight with me as much as you want, but Zatzchak, these are the children of Yitzchak, you ain't getting nothing. Amazing. Okay, Sir Richard, to celebrate our release from hell, I think you should give us an amazing opening here. Thank you. Hakotev shtei otiot ve'alem echad chayav. So this is rather obvious, and we're going to see only later in the next Mishnah why we're bothering to say it. The shear of k'tiva is shtei otiot. So obviously, it would need to be shtei otiot ve'alem echad. Now, I mean, unless, of course, you hold yesh yediyah b'chatzi shear, and that's going to be what the hint is here. Now, what do you write with? So we're talking about what the letter is that you write. What do you write with? Well, I don't care what you wrote with, because we're not talking about a kosher sefer Torah. We're talking about the din of ketiva bichla, which we learned from the Karshiyat Mishkan, which means you could write it with ink, or you could write it with some type of dye stuff. Bisam, you could write it with sikra, which is that red pigment that they use on the animals for miser and so on. You could write it with kumus, which is actually very, very useful to write with. And you can look up on YouTube how to mix kumas with your watercolors. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. And you can write with cupric sulfate, kankantom, or anything that leaves a permanent mark. And even if you write it on two separate walls, right? But you write it right at the corners so that you can read it by going around the wall. It's shnekotle zaviyot, or you could have two sides of a luach, of a pinkas, so you can have two columns, or you can have two of those wax ledgers that they used to use that we talked about before. You put one at the end of one and one at the beginning of the other so that they're read together. Nagim zeim zeh, you would be chayim. How about if you write on your hand or your arm, you write with ink, you would be chayim. And if you scratch something on your arm, either by scratching it with a little piece of a nail or something, or you use some type of thing that burns the picture into like you use seed. Rebbe Eliezer holds your chayev, and the Chachomim say your potter. All to be discussed in the Gemara. If you wrote it with some type of other liquids that are black, you're left with mushroom juice. Like, I forget what they call those black mushrooms. You wrote it b'mei peirot, or with some type of fruit juice, berry juice, bavak drachim, or you wrote it. Either it means you wrote it out of mud, or it means that you used your finger on somebody's dirty windshield, which is also a type of writing, or you wrote about vak sofrim, which is actual that stuff that's left of the dry ink at the bottom of the bottle, which is like a black dust. Ubechol davar she'eino mitkayem, or anything that is not going to actually stay there, then you're putter, because again, even though Minarabonin it's also to do this, but it's not the Derech of Ketiva that's mitkayem. Other cases, if you write using the Achra Yad, so this could mean literally, to put your hand the other direction, put the pen between your fingers and wrote backwards. Or you wrote with your foot, you know, it's the old trick that they show. You write with holding the pen in your mouth or in your elbow. You write one letter, only one letter, but it's next to another letter that was written before, then, and it spells something, maybe that would be mechayev you because it's already there. Or let's say you write a ktav agabe ktav. You have a letter that is written already, two letters that are written, and you write over them with additional ink, or maybe a different color ink. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Or let's say you had in Kavana to write a chet. You did the two Zion parts of the chet, but you never connected the chet at the top with the two Zion. So now you're left with two letters. But your kavana was to write one letter. Or you write the letters separated. One of them you like close to the ground. One of them is on a roof beam. Or you wrote it on two walls of a house that are not next to each other. Or on two dafei pinkas that are not next to each other. In all of these cases, you would be potter. But if you write one letter, and that one letter is a common notrikun, so that it stands as an abbreviation for something else, you put the little apostrophe on it to show that it's a notrikun. So let's say you wrote tough with a little Bigdad on top, then everybody would read that as Truma or something like that. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera says, well, I mean, that's basically coding for an entire word, and therefore it's the equivalent of writing the two letters, whereas the Chachamim patur you even there. Okay, let's go through the various things which we've done many times in the Gemara in different sugyas. Diyo refers to what we call diuta, that black ink that we usually put together using the ingredients that are commonly used. Sam refers to sama. Sama is actually, as Rashi says, orpiment, which is, chemically speaking, it's a type of arsenic mix. Sikra is Amarabba Barbarchana. Sikra is called sakarta nowadays, which is a type of reddish metal, a metallic combination with lead. Kumus refers to kuma. Now, kuma is one of the most common things that you will ever find, believe it or not, because it's gum Arabic. And gum Arabic you find in so many different foods and things. It's used as a emulsifier. But it's also used today by artists for the same reason that the Mishnah is talking about it, because it creates a lasting effect in your watercolors. Mix it with kuma, and you've got a much thicker kind of paint that gives it almost an oil paint feel with a transparency that's very special. Again, YouTube will show you how to do this. Kan kantom, Amar Rabba Barbachon, Amar Shmuel, they call that today Charta Ushkefe, Shoemaker's Black, which is not currently what we call Shoemaker's Black, because kan kantom is cupric sulfate, which dyes blue. Ubechol davar shehu roshem, latuyemai. Well, that would mean what Rabbi Hanina said. Like, let's say you write it with dirty water. So you could do be metaria. Metaria is taria might be, there's different approaches. It might be a water that you had let these taria fruits lie in for a water while till it got dark. Others one, it just means dirty water. Or with afta. Afta, we saw before, are gallnuts. So mayim of afta would be water that had gallnuts in. Now, gallnut is an important component of dio, but if you just mix plain gallnuts with water, then in all of these cases, if you write a get with these things, it's kosher. Why? Because it will stand as writing, and therefore you'd be chayav on Shabbos too. Tani Rebbe Chiya ketavo be'afar. Suppose you wrote with a lead pencil, a real lead pencil. Avar is real lead, not a graphite. And so you took a piece of lead and you wrote with it. Or shachor, ground lead, also obviously would also be good. Shachor, or with charcoal, or shichor, which Rashi claims is what we said before, was the kankantor mitosis argues, because why would we call it shichor here or the ushkefa before? Kosher. In all of these cases, it would be a kosher gate, which means that it would also be a chiyuv because of writing on Shabbos. Now, we said if you scratch yourself with a letter, so then, according to Rabbi Lezer, you would be chayiv. Tanya Amalim, Rabbi Lezer, Lechachomim. What do you mean, man? Did you forget Dolores Umbridge? How did Dolores Umbridge have Harry Potter write all of his messages, okay? He had to use a stylus and write it on his skin. So how could you possibly say that Harry Potter was not writing something that was going to be chayav on Shabbos if this is what Umbridge used? And in fact, other people that needed to deal with all of the different spells that were learned at Hogwarts, we know the mocker of all of those spells was in Mitzrayim, right? Where it was the city that was full of spells, as Rashi says. And that's what Paro was laughing at Moshe. He called out the kids that were first grade level Hogwarts. They all could do the tricks that Moshe was doing. So there was an old story where Ben Sittada went to Mitzrayim. What they used to do is they used to do a complete body search when you were leaving at the airport to make sure that you weren't sneaking out any kind of records of the spells that you might have learned in Mitzrayim, and would try to export them so that they would not be used only by Mitzrayim. And this Ben Sittada, he was the first guy who wrote down all these magical spells all over his body, and he wrote them down on his actual flesh, which is where Dolores Umbridge got the idea from. And therefore, you see that it is a way of writing. So why do you say that you're putter? Said the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, let me tell you something. Dolores Umbridge was insane, and so was Ben Sittada, and these were shotim, and eimei v'in raya min ha-shotim. You can't bring a raya of what's considered to be the derech from crazy people. Anyway, katav ot achat samuch l'ktav. Suppose you write one, I don't even get a smile from anybody. It's hopeless. Katav otachat samuch lichtav. You write a letter that is next to another letter, and now it spells something. So it says, your putter. Who is the man, the Omar, that says, your putter? Omar Rava Baravuna. I can tell you who it's not. It's definitely not Reb Eliezer, because remember, Reb Eliezer says that if you add one thread of weaving to something that's already woven, you're chayev. So by the same token, if you add one letter to something that is already written, then you should be chayev. And note once again the conjunction of writing and weaving, which is explains why we're going to get in the next perek to ha'oreg, because we're going to go from the krashim directly to the curtains that were woven over the krashim. So because of that, we have the same shear as well. So it can't be Reb Eliezer. Okay, then the Mishnah says, if you write ink over ink that was already there, you're potter. Okay, who said that? Omer Rav Chisa, I don't know who said it, but I sure know who doesn't say it. And that is Rebbe Yehuda, because the Tanya, suppose, now of course it's Rebbe Yehuda who said this mimer, because the word Yehuda includes Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Shem Hashem, which of course Rebbe Yehuda wanted to point out, so that if somebody needed to write the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Torah, and he thought that he was supposed to write the word Yehuda, so he did not have in Kavana to write the Shem. He's writing Yehuda, and he mistakenly, because he so often writes Yud Kei Vav Kei, he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he left out the Dal. And ta'av lo itil bo dalet. So now he's got a problem. He can't erase the shame, because you're not allowed to erase the shame if it was written shelo b'kavana, if this is what the pasuk says. But what you can do is you can rewrite it, this time with kavana. So take new ink, put it in your pen, have the pen go over the same letters that are already there, and then all of a sudden the name Yehuda becomes kadosh with the shame yudke vavke, because it's missing its dalet. So says Rebbe Yehuda. The Chachamim say, Ein HaShem in HaMufchar. That is not a very good shame. Now, what they actually mean is that it's puzzle, but the Beforshim explain the reason that they say it in that Lashon is, even the Shitascha, you should not be matur that Lechatchila. It's such a low-class way of writing the Shem HaShem. Tana. Now, in a Braita, it says that if you write one letter, and in that one letter, you complete the entire sefer. That doesn't mean necessarily it's the last letter. It might have been a letter that was missing in the middle or whatever. But this way, you now finish the sefer. Or you weave just one thread, and that is the conclusion of the entire work. And now the beged is finished. You would be chayev. Who is that? Says Rava Baravuna. Well, I mean, isn't that Reb Eliezer? Reb Eliezer said if you add one thread on something that was already woven, you would be chayev. Says Rav Ashi, well, now, why is this Reb Eliezer? That was any old thread. We're talking about the thing that's mashlim everything. This could be going even according to the Rabbanan, because even the Rabbanan would be meida that if you're coming to be mashlim it, of course that's different, and they're meida that you would be chayev. Omer Rav Ami, if you wrote one letter in Tveria, and you wrote one letter in Tzipori, you would be chayev. Why? Because these are letters, so you've got your two letters that you're hanging on two little pieces of paper. Shin Mem. Put them together, and what do you get? Shin Mem. Shame. So who cares if where they were written? They are certainly able to be put together. Ktivahi, all you need to do is get them closer. What? But the Mishnah says if you wrote one letter on one wall or one letter on the other wall and they're not read together, even you put them in two columns, if they're not read together, Einagim Zem Zem Potter. Ah, true. But in the Mishnah, in order to bring them together, you would need to cut them out. Over here, you don't need to do anything. There's no chusar maisa. You just need to put them together. That's not a chusar maisa in the actual writing.